Ahem, a good morning to everyone. The history of this year started not long ago, but on Friday, this past Friday. I received the following advertisement to my phone and thereafter to the email that said as follows. Tfilah chagigit shel yom chag ha'atzma'ut biyomo, festive davening for yom ha'atzma'ut on its day, Hey Iyar, which you all know this year is not tomorrow, Thursday, the 4th of Iyar, but rather when?
Friday.
Al pi piskei harabanim, based on the psak of the following rabbanim: Soloveitchik, Goren, and Rav Tzvi, or Rav Herschel Schechter, and also Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. And there's going to be a minyan, and you're welcome to come. Now, I got this particular advertisement, and I was very surprised, because the debate as to what happens when the state of Israel, with the absolute solidarity and with the absolute haskama agreement of the chief rabbinate, pushes Yom HaAtzma'ut from Hey Iyar back a day in order to prevent what? Chilul Shabbat, that he shouldn't have it on Friday and barbecues going into Shabbos. It's an old debate. Didn't start this year. But I basically, and I think you are as well, are under the impression that this debate in Israel, not outside of Israel, I admit, but in Israel, has already been decided. People that don't celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut won't celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut this year. People that never say Hallel won't. But people that celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut and say Hallel, 99.9% will say it when?
Wednesday and Thursday.
Tomorrow morning.
Thursday.
Tomorrow morning. Thursday. Now, obviously, I saw this and I said, well, you know, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rebbe of my Rebbes, Rav Herschel Schechter, these are people that I'm very worried when they say something. So I approached the gentleman who's organizing such a minyan and I asked him. I didn't know Rav Soloveitchik said that, I admit. His answer is, yes, he said it to me. I said, yeah, what did he say? Well, I told him how I think that Yom HaAtzma'ut should be celebrated on its day, Hey Iyar. And he said, yeah, they play around with Yom HaAtzma'ut like a yo-yo. So thus, that's his psak. Now, yes, I want to say three things. Number one, when you say a shkafa, when you give a drasha, when you go ahead and give a sermon, you could say whatever you want. I hope that you bring a source for what you say. But you can agree or disagree. You don't go for, I don't know, any congregant ever went to the gas pipe because the rabbi said something in shul that bothered him. Ad kedei kach. There's been very, very charismatic rabbis, but they're not that charismatic. But when it comes to halacha, in my humble opinion, and especially within our kollel, I think this is important, you have to be very careful because you're telling people what to do, not what to think or think about, but what to do. And if you're going to tell people, do totally different from what everyone else is doing, and say Hallel on Friday as opposed to Thursday, I believe the proper and professional way is to bring sources for what you say and learn it halachically, which I hope we're going to do this morning. Number two, that conversation, taking the first name on the list, Rav Soloveitchik, I told him this and that, and he said, yes, they play with Yom HaAtzma'ut like a yo-yo. Do you believe that's a psak halacha of Rav Soloveitchik? Let me tell you a little story. I was at a wedding, and that whole day I was very disturbed because a Kohen wanted to marry a Gioret. Can a Kohen marry a Gioret? No, a Kohen cannot marry a convert. And I wanted to try and solve this halachic dilemma. And I was writing a tshuva to one of the great rabbis of our generation and working on it, because when you write today a shaila, what you do is you put your tshuva in your shaila. That's an old trick. In other words, you say what you think and you guess the rabbi to say what he thinks and he'll write it down. So I was thinking about it all day and I'm writing it down and I go that night to a wedding and the Masada Kiddushin is one of the G'dolei Yisrael of our generation. And guess what? They put me at his table. So I thought, this is my chance. And I go up to him and I tell him the story and I tell him what I'm thinking and he goes, that's a good svara. Do you think the next day I wrote and the psak of this G'dolei Yisrael is to agree with me? He's in a wedding, he's sitting down, he's relaxing, he's eating his dinner, and he says, oh, good svara. Do you think for a moment that I would go out and promulgate, this is a psak halacha? It's a casual conversation. Now, it happens to be that on this particular issue, I was disturbed. So I asked one of the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, what do you know what the Rav said on this issue? And he says, you don't have to care what he said. He said different things to different people. Let's go with what he wrote. When you say Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskind, where do we go to? The Igros Moshe. When you say Rav Usher Weiss Paskind, where do you go to? The Minchas Usher. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't just say it, he wrote it. In the thesis that was done by Louis Bernstein, if I'm getting his name correct, there was a thesis done on the emergence of the American rabbinate. And in this particular doctorate about the RCA and how it started, I'll give you the exact name so no one should say I'm being flippant on this. Challenge and Mission, the Emergence of the American English-Speaking Rabbinate. That was his doctorate thesis, and it was put out as a book in 1982. There are 8 halachic tshuvas from Rav Soloveitchik. Guess what one of them are on? This issue. And you know what he writes in there? He writes, Heimamru veheimamru. Can anyone tell me what that Talmudic phrase means? Heimamru veheimamru. In Halach in the Gemara, when it says Heimamru veheimamru, it means that the rabbis who made the takana have the right to tell you how this takana is going to work. So for sake of argument, the rabbi said to celebrate Hanukkah, or the rabbi said to celebrate to commemorate Tisha B'Av, they also could say that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you push it off to what? To Sunday. Now, the rabbis have a right to say, well, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we'll push it off to Sunday? No, because it's not that they said, because Hashem said. But if the rabbis said, they can make their own rules. Mm-hmm. But this Rav in Yerushalayim didn't go ahead and say that's enough. He asked the Rav, what did you mean? And the Rav told him in the 70s, Heim Amru Veheim Yomru. I didn't make Yom HaAtzmaut. The Rabbanut HaRashit did. So they'll tell you when to celebrate it. Because they're the ones that made it. Heim Amru, they instituted it. Veheim Yomru, and they'll decide when to make it. So, I wrote to this individual and I contacted him. And he says, no, the Rav told me differently. I said, but the Rav was talking to you in a conversation. We have an actual Psak Halacha. So what I'm asking you to do, please, with obviously with great kavod, put out your minyan, because that's your point of view, and I respect it, and I understand where it's coming from, and this morning you're going to understand where it's coming from. But take Rav Soloveitchik's name off of it. And he refuses. He absolutely believes that that casual conversation in that year was a Psak Halacha, l'chol davar. I am absolutely convinced that that is not called a Psak Halacha. That's a casual conversation in learning with one of the Gedolei Yisrael of the 20th century. 100%. But to say Psak, I don't think so. As to the other Rabbanim here quoted, I decided to look into it. I am still awaiting answers. If I get any updates through the day and you're interested, I will update you. But on this particular one, I asked him very nicely, you have a right to your opinion and make your minyan and obviously do what you think is right. And everyone I think that has smicha has a right to paskin the way he believes. But take Rav Soloveitchik's name, please, off of it. Because people feel guilty when they do things against Rav Soloveitchik if Rav Soloveitchik was their Rebbe. And he refuses.
What's the logic anyway for having it on Friday? I don't get the logic.
I'll get to it in a moment.
I think it would definitely go around people.
Okay, we'll get to that. We're going to get to the actual issue. So number one, I believe halacha should be taught seriously, and we're going to do that this morning, I hope. You can tell me afterwards if it was serious or not, as to can you change the holiday, quote-unquote, of Yom HaAtzmaut to a different day. And number two, when you quote people, you cannot quote them in a casual conversation. It has to be from a psak halacha, either written, or in this day and age, said by them. There's recordings of Rav Schechter. You can listen to them and hear what he has to say about it. Number three, and this I believe is the most critical and crucial point that really got me disturbed. If everyone, 99.9%, is doing it one way and you're doing it another way, there's a price you pay for that. There's a price that's very dear, in my humble opinion. You know what that price is? There's a Rambam I keep on repeating in my head, and I'm not going to repeat to you. But there's a famous Rambam about Haporesh Midarkei Tzibur, one that makes something totally different from everyone else. And when you do that, there's certain rules and regulations you should follow, and in my humble opinion, one of them is, keep it private. Everyone is celebrating on one day, and you want to celebrate on a different day, because you're convinced halachically that's what you need to do, don't make an issue. Keep it quiet. Don't make 99.9% of the people, even if it's a small minority of them, feel guilty. Or the opposite, they'll think you're nuts. Everyone's celebrating tomorrow and you're celebrating on Friday. Having said all that, I would like to now do what I believe is right and to give an actual shiur on this issue. So with your permission, here are the source sheets, and let's begin. I want to make a few points this morning, going to be very brief, and the issue is, when is the real Yom HaAtzmaut and when is the fake Yom HaAtzmaut? Everyone ready? Okay. If you need a coffee, go right ahead. Eat, drink, because you'll need to be awake. I want to make point number one. If you look in the top of the source sheet, the holy Wikipedia, you have to give it, no thank you, you have to give it a kiss, obviously, because with Wikipedia, we totally eradicated what? The encyclopedia. You never hear a kid that goes home and says, I have to do a paper, I have to go to the library to open up an encyclopedia. The holy Wikipedia writes about the Declaration of Independence and says, and I quote, an invitation was sent out by messenger on the morning of the 14th of May, thank you, Bruce, telling recipients to arrive at 3:30 and to keep the event a secret. The event started at 4 o'clock. Anyone want to read the parentheses?
A time chosen so as not to breach the Shabbat.
Gentlemen, 1948, when did the 5th of Iyar fall out?
Friday.
When does it fall out this year?
Friday.
This year is a replica of the year the state was founded. Why did they make the ceremony at 4 o'clock? So that there will be no desecration of Shabbos. I just want to say to everyone listening, the state is not even in diapers. The head of the baby is not even out. And they already made a Kiddush Hashem. And what was the Kiddush Hashem? That Ben-Gurion and all his cohorts, many of them were not religious. Many of them hated religion. Many of them grew up in religious homes and threw it out the window with their tefillin. Started this state of Israel at a time that would not desecrate Shabbos. If you don't believe the holy Wikipedia, I brought another website. You can do a Google search, Declaration, Independence, Israel, Sabbath, and they'll all come up with the same story. This second website says exactly the same thing, 4 p.m. the following Friday, for if the ceremony ran late into the start of the Shabbat, no Jewish leader would sign the declaration. So point number one, the state of Israel is founded in such a way that Chilul Shabbos shouldn't happen when you find it. And I give a lot of credit to the leaders of then that were not, excuse me for saying so, lovers of Judaism and Torah and Yiddishkeit necessarily, but they were sensitive that they're making a Jewish state. Point number one. Point number two. When God said to celebrate a holiday on a certain date, let's take Shavuos this year. When is Shavuos? You know what, Shavuos is not a good example. I won't take Shavuos. Pesach. When was Pesach?
Shabbat.
No, not which date of the week. Which day? Date. The 15th of Nisan. It came out on Shabbat. You have a minhag that right before the Seder, you take the chrein and you grate it. You can't do that on Shabbos. It might be an Isser of Tochen. So it's not convenient for you to have the Seder on Shabbos. There's a lot of questions that can go into that Seder. You can't make salt water. You can't grate your chrein. Can the rabbis come along and say, you know, in order to prevent Chilul Shabbos, we're going to move the Seder to Sunday?
No.
No! Why? Because when God said a certain day is holy, the date and the day is holy. Either it's convenient or inconvenient. So this year Shavuos comes out on Sunday. That makes every Israeli celebrate a two-day yontif. They're going to kvetch. They're going to whine. Your wives are going to kvetch and maybe whine even more than you. And tough! Because the day is inherently holy. Now what happens with rabbinic fast days and rabbinic holidays? Does that equation just spill over? Just like God said the 15th of Nisan is holy, so too the rabbis came along and said, for sakes of argument, the 14th of Adar Purim is holy. Or Hey Iyar is holy. Or Kofchet Iyar, Jerusalem Day is holy. Can they make that same equation? Let's look. Number one, the Fast of Gedalia. So everyone celebrated Rosh Hashanah. I hope you enjoyed your apple and honey. I hope you heard the show for loud and clear. Your Baal Tefillah wasn't too long, not too short, just right. What happens the day after Rosh Hashanah?
The
no, there's a second day of Rosh Hashanah. And what happens the third day?
It's one long day.
It's one long day. Yom HaRichta. Okay, after the long two-day Rosh Hashanah, which is really one day, there's the Fast of Gedalia. Here's the psukim from Yirmiyahu, Vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i on the seventh month, by Yishmael ben Netanya ben Elishama, Mizera ha-melucha, Verabei ha-melech, Vasara nashim ito, Yishmael and 10 people with him, and they came to Gedaliah, and what did they do? They killed the guy. Says the Gemara in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi on the right side of the page, Bavli and Yerushalmi, that the Adalia was killed on the 3rd of Tishrei. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yudchet Amud Bet, Soma Shvi'i Zeh Shlosha B'Tishrei Shibon Ne'erag Gedalia, Talmud Yerushalmi and Tainis says exactly the same thing. However, we have many, many sources. Look on the left side of the page, the Radak, the Ibn Ezra, and others who say, when was Gedalia really killed? On Rosh Hashanah. He was having a Seuda in honor of Yantiv. It was a good time to get him. For example, the Radak, over Rosh Hashanah, Neherag Gedalia ben Achikam. So when do we fast?
The following day.
The following day, why? Why? Ibn Ezra, he was killed on Aleph Tishrei, we fast on the 3rd of Tishrei. Asks the Taz. The Taz, one of the most famous Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch. Son-in-law of the Dabach, the Beit Chadash. So Rabbi the Beit Chadash took a son-in-law, the Taz. He usually, many times, disagrees with his father-in-law, respectfully. He usually uses the words, by the way, with all due respect. That's where I think it comes from. Because you know when someone says, with all due respect, you know what's coming next, right? So, when the Taz disagrees with his father-in-law, he always uses the term, with all due respect. The Taz asks a beautiful shayla. Siman Tov Kuf Mem Tet, and I'll read it out loud. He says, Rabbeinu Yerucham, other Rishonim also say Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah. So maybe every single year since we commemorate the fast 2 days after it happens, that's not a fast day biyomo on its day. That's a nitche, a fast that was pushed off. If it was pushed off, what happens when a fast is pushed off? What changes?
It's a weaker fast.
It's a weaker fast. In what way? We don't just say that if you're sick in bed, you can't fast. But rather we say, even if you have a headache, you don't have to fast. Even those that say that pregnant women should fast on the minor fast days will agree that if the fast is pushed off, you don't have to. So maybe every Tzom Gedalia is a pushed off fast because every Tzom Gedalia doesn't happen on the day he was killed. Says the Taz, no way. And that's what he says. Listen properly. B'Tzom Gedalia de Bepam HaRishona deChau v'Gazru Litanot b'Yom Gimel l'Olam Chalak Zera l'Olam b'Shaveh v'Ein Nira Lanu Atchia. Says the Taz that since every single year you push off the fast, that is the day, that is the fast day. The fact that he was killed 2 days before, because it's pushed off every single year, that is the day, and he uses four words at the end that I love. Ve'en nira lanu hatchiyah. We don't feel that it's postponed. I want to ask you all a question. Has anyone ever gone through a Tzom Gedalia on the 3rd of Tishrei and felt this is a fast that's pushed off from Rosh Hashanah? I don't recall anyone doing that. I didn't know it was either, because you get said tzlichos, and you say, this is the day, and everything's the same. Now let's take it to Yom HaAtzmaut. Tomorrow's Yom HaAtzmaut. You're going to walk around the state of Israel. You're going to walk around the Efrat. You're going to walk around Halon Shvut. You're going to walk around Jerusalem. Is anyone going to feel tomorrow that it's a day early? Tonight, there's going to be fireworks, or there won't be fireworks?
Fireworks.
There will be fireworks. Tomorrow, there'll be beautiful burnt meat smell in the air, or there won't be. Of course there will. So those words of the Taz, I think, are very important. It's pushed off every single year, and it makes no difference to us. So as you can see, Tzom Gedalia is a fast that every year, according to the Taz, based on many sources, again, Bavli Yerushalmi both say he was killed on Gimel Tishrei. But according to the Taz, since it's pushed off every year, it makes no difference to us because we don't feel that it's pushed off. When a Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos and you push it off to Sunday, you do feel it's pushed off because things change. We'll get to that. But when it comes to Tzom Gedalia, nothing changes. So if we're here, we have an example of a Tzom Gedalia pushed off. Nobody says, boo, it's rabbinic. Example number two. Let's look at the other fast days. How many fast days do we have for the destruction of the temple, the events surrounding it?
Four in total.
Four. Zechariah Perek Chet says, Komar Hashem Tzvakot, the Holy Lord of the Hosts says, Tzom HaRevi'i, V'Tzom HaChashmishi, V'Tzom HaShvi'i, V'Tzom HaAsiri. The fast of the fourth of the months, the fast of the fifth of the months, the fast of the seventh of the months, and the fast of the tenth of the month will one day be holidays. Es the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, as everyone recalls, is a very important parish on the Sefer HaChinuch. How come he doesn't say Yud Zayin Betamuz or Shiva Asar Betamuz? How come he doesn't say Tisha B'Av? Says the Minchas Chinuch, and I read, the Dalat Tzomot Alanu Midivrei Kabbalah, these Tzomot, these four fasts that are written in the Tanakh, En yikvah lahem yom miyuchad. There's no date for them. Yud betevet o tisha b'av v'chadome. Hasara betevet o tisha b'av. Raka divrei kabbalah hu al elu achodashim. The actual obligation is to fast on that month. The month of Tevet, the month of Tammuz, the month of Av, and the month of Tishrei. Aval lo nitchached yom miyuchad. Like is the yom shirutze yecholi tanot like ve'elu achodashim. And what's his proof? The pasuk doesn't say a date. Now, if you would tell me this is true regarding Pesach, I'd say go jump in a lake. Torah says chamishar sar yom, explicit. With regard to fast days, on the other hand, that are rabbinic, as you could see, both from Tzom Gedalia and from the other fast days, the date doesn't have inherent holiness in it that you would come and say, no, that date is kadosh. We cannot move it. Now, in general, we don't move it. We don't play around. But if there's a good reason, we do. Can anyone tell me the good reason that will happen this year for two of these fast days? Tzom Ha-Revi'i v'Tzom Ha-Chamishi? They both come out on Shabbos. When are we going to fast?
Sunday.
Yes.
Isn't it true that the 10th of Tevet is some kind of special status?
There's an Abu Raham that says that it does have a special status, and thus we fast even if it comes out on Friday.
Yeah.
He would say even on Shabbos, but the Beis Yosef and the regular poskim say it's absolutely outlandish. So Friday we accept it, but if it ever came out on Shabbos, our calendar doesn't allow it, but if we go back to having the calendars by the Beis Din, then by the Sanhedrin to be precise, then it might come out. I don't think we poskin that way. The Beit Yosef makes fun of it. He says it makes a gzera shava from Yom Kippur. Gzera shava, using the same term between two places, is within the same five books of Moses. You don't make a gzera shava from the five books of Moses to the Sefer Zechariah. In any case, there is something with Asara B'Tevet, but it's not Paskin L'Halacha necessarily. On Friday, yes, but not on Shabbos. Now, you could say to me, Rabbi, very nice, so we pushed off Tzom Gedalia every year, that's a fast day. We push off Tisha B'Av, that's a fast day. There's no real date. But Chanukah and Purim, we only celebrate on their real dates. Am I right or am I wrong? Next source, gentlemen. Everyone knows that on Chanukah, on the first night, how many brachas do you make on your menorah?
Three.
What's the last bracha? Shechionu. If a guy doesn't have a menorah, he's walking down the street and he sees a menorah according to the Pshat of the Gemara. Again, Pshat of the Gemara, I won't go into the sugya. Haroeh mevarech shtayim, on the night of Chanukah, that you look at the menorah and you didn't light it, you don't say asher kedishanu mitzotav itzivanu lahadli, because you're not. You make shas and isim in Shechionu, if you see a menorah. Comes along the Meiri on the left side of the page and says, Misha'inu lahadlik. Bruce goes out on a tiyul. He's in the middle of the desert. His ways didn't work. His maps are wrong. And they're stuck on the first night of Hanukkah in the middle of nowhere. And there's no menorah in sight. And they're all screaming and cursing Bruce. But Bruce, he says, doesn't let it flinch him. He's going to be all right. He says, everyone to calm down. But it's the first night of Hanukkah. Says the Meiri, if you're in the middle of the desert and there's no Hanukkah menorah, and you can't light a Hanukkah menorah because you have no house in the desert. So, what does the Meiri say? Yes, Omrim, there's some that say, Shemivarech la'atzmo sha'as anishim v'shechiyanu b'layla rishon, v'sha'as anishim v'chol ha'leilot v'advarim nirim. There's some that say, you make a shechiyanu sha'as anishim. Anyway, why? Because not connected to the menorah. It's the fact that it's the first night of Hanukkah. That's the Meiri in Masechet Shabbos. But the Meiri in Masechet Megillah goes nuts against this point of view. And he says, yes, there are some, Shemigalgel chayuv zman b'yom mitzad echad v'hu b'pnei yom tov. Some say that on Chanukah you should make a Shechianu not on lighting the candles for the first time in a year, but rather on what? On the holiday of Chanukah. On the Etzem holiday of Chanukah you make a Shechianu, just like you make a Shechianu on the first night of Pesach, and you make a Shechianu on the first night of Shavuos, and you make a Shechianu on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, not because you're about to do a mitzvah you didn't do all year. For example, Rosh Hashanah night, you're not about to do a mitzvah you didn't do all year, but on the Kedushat Hayom, on the holiness of the day. So some people say, same thing with rabbinic holidays. Chanukah comes, you have no menorah, you're either homeless or Bruce stranded you in the desert. You make a Shechianu on the day. Some say that. And what does he say? Mikol makom, and divrayim klum. I won't translate what that means. You know what I will translate? It means it's meaningless. It means makes no sense. Mikol she'ein sham kos lekiddush ein bo zman. If you don't make Kiddush equation, there's no Shechianu on the day. What is he saying? You make a Shechianu on the first time of doing the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles, but not on the day. So if you have no menorah, you don't make a Shechianu. Okay? What is he basically saying?
But there's no kedusha to the day. Itself.
Why?
It's the day that you acknowledge by lighting. That's when you make the
correct. The rabbis have a right to tell you to light or not to eat on a certain day of the year, but they do not have the ability to change Wednesday into a holy day. They don't have the ability to change Yud Daled Adar, the 14th of Adar, into a holy day. They have the ability to tell you do certain things or don't do certain things. There's no inherent kedusha to the day. Thus, says the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein, Vadai shalonit kan dechanukah b'purim zman al hayom. There's no shechiyanu on the actual day. There's shechiyanu on the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, and there's a shechiyanu on the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Why? Kivan she'en b'hayamim kedusha. There's no kedusha in the day. Only God can take a regular mundane day and make it into a holy day. So as you could see, we started with Tzom Gedaliah, rabbinic fast day, went to all the fast days, we're now at Chanukah and Purim, and it's very explicit, there's no holiness to the day per se. There is an obligation to do certain things or not do certain things, but there's no holiness to the day. Just to finish this point, this is very, very clear in halacha, and I'll quote to you three halachas, the Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchos Megillah, and Purim. Three halachas. Number one, Omer Al HaNisim. Everyone knows you add Al HaNisim on Chanukah and Purim. What happens if you forget? Look at your source sheet. You don't have to look at me. It's not Torah Shabbat Peh over here. V'im Lo Amaro. And Machzir in Ato. What happens if you forget Yalev Yavo on Chol HaMoed Pesach?
Yeah, what happens?
Yalev Yavo on Chol HaMoed Pesach. You go back.
Yeah, you go back.
What happens if you forgot Yalev Yavo on the day of Rosh Chodesh? You go back. Why? Very simply, because God made that day different. And if your davening doesn't reflect that the day is different, your davening is not necessarily a good davening. Now, I'll just say in parentheses that some say it's a good davening, but you forgot to do the additional me'ein ha-me'ora, reminding God of the day. But when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, the day is a regular day. The Chachamim said, El al nisim. But if you don't, your davening is a perfect davening, because you said it was Wednesday, and it is Wednesday. You forgot to say it was Chanukah. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's the Morid
HaTal?
You can make that on
almost
everything.
No, Morid HaTal is not a
chiyuv. No, but I understand, but you know.
But if you make a mistake of Vatain Bracha versus Vatain Talamatar, you're basically asking for something you don't need at that time of the year.
You could do it on
what?
During a certain Mitzvah, if you forget to say that.
Again, Aseret Yemei Tshuva were basically additions done by the Chachamim that basically reflected what God instituted, namely a Rosh Hashanah and a Yom Kippur and the 8 days between. And therefore, if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh, you do have to go back.
Yes.
The other additions were Momekel on, but not HaMelech HaKadosh.
What are the parameters on Yalav Yavo? If you forget it, then...
In davening, if you forget it...
A few seconds later, you're into modem.
I won't go into the halachas now, but there are halachas as to where you forget it and what do you...
Can you go back?
If you already finished davening, you have to daven again. If you already finished the bracha, if you didn't finish the bracha, you just add it in there. If you finish the bracha, you may have to go back to Ritzei. All right, well, one day give a proper shiur on it. But you see the difference between Chanukah and Purim on the one hand, that was done by the rabbis, and Rosh Chodesh... Chanukah Purim on the one hand, and Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkot is done by God on the other. Yes, Bruce.
If you wake up to being unconscious from a plane crash on an island, don't you count every 7 days, and then the seventh day, you are actually saying it's a holy day of Shabbat, and you keep that if you don't know any other day?
Yes.
So is that extending a kedusha day that's...
No, that's when you have no choice. But if you know when Shabbos is, even if it's not convenient that week, you have to keep Shabbos.
Yeah, of course.
Because God made that. When it comes to the fast days or Chanukah Purim, you see we play around a little bit. Mm-hmm. More than that, next halacha with regard to Shulchan Aruch. What happens if you're in Avil on Chanukah and Purim? You're sitting Shiva. Shulchan Aruch says, continue to sit Shiva. Mm-hmm. What happens if you're in Avil on Erev Pesach?
Yeah,
finished. What's the difference?
Again,
the Ramah, by the way, paskins on Chanukah like the Shulchan Aruch, regular Avelus. On Purim, he says, you act like Shabbos. But he says, and I quote, that the day of Purim, Ole lo leminyan Shiva, Yemei Avelus kemo b'Shabbos. How come it's different? Simply. Simchas Yontiv was done by God. God said that the 15th of Nisan and the 6th of Sivan, as well as the 15th of Tishrei, are happy days. Avelus cannot live together with happy days. But when the Chachamim came along and made two holidays, Chanukah and Purim, they can't change a day into a happy day. They don't have that ability. A table remains a table. They can tell you how to act at the table, but they cannot change the table from being a table. God can. He takes the first of Tishrei and says, this is not a regular day of the week. It's a holiday. So all the people around you are going to work, and all the people around you are going to school. You're not. You're strange, and therefore we say, Atar b'chartanu mikol ha'amim, because we're strange. The Chachamim don't have that ability. Poof positive. If you're an Avil, your Avilus continues. So everyone is lighting the Hanukkah menorah and they're eating latkes. It's still a regular day of the week. Point positive. Proof positive. Do you use your car? Yes. And don't say on Chala Moed, I use my car too, because on Chala Moed you use your car only if it's allowed for Chala Moed purposes. You don't just put it on and off your car. That could be an Isser Malacha on Chala Moed, perhaps Midoraisa. Next halacha, mutar lisayi shabbat Purim. You can get married on Purim. You get up in the morning, you hear Megillah, you give your Mishloach Manot, Matanot Levyonim, you get drunk, you'll take a little nap. In the afternoon, you can go to a wedding. On Purim! On Purim! Can you make a wedding on Chol HaMoed? Look again, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'lo dami l'chag. It's not like a yontif. Tichtiv v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. You have to be happy on your holiday and not happy because of a wedding. Masha enkein b'Purim. So my second point today, after saying that the state of Israel was founded in a way that was not Mechalel Shabbos, is that when it comes to rabbinic days, there's no inherent kedusha to the day.
Do you think he really had an interest in that? I don't believe that. I mean, I think you're saying, and I agree on a lot of things you're saying today, but on this point, you know, with the Israelis, I really don't think he had any interest on Shabbat. That's, you know...
Well, he was proud of people in the room. They weren't going to sign him.
Just, you know... Well, that could be the reason.
It could be.
But not because it was him.
It could be. I can just say it's a beautiful result.
Right.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be because he had no choice.
Now, do we have actual, after making the point that there's no inherent importance to the date when it comes to rabbinic holidays, so thus, when Yom HaAtzma'ut comes out when it does, I'm not so worried that if it's a day earlier or a day late, just like with fast days and holidays, do we have a precedent of actually moving a date? So fast days we do. Tisha B'Av is pushed off from Shabbos to
Sunday.
How about holidays? You could say, Rabbi, very nice on fast days, but holidays you leave on the same day. Forget about your Chilul Shabbos issues, whatever. Hey, Iyar is Friday. Hey, Iyar is the real Yom HaAtzmaut. That's the day we say Hallel. Don't start playing around. Do we have a precedent where we take a holiday, rabbinic holiday, and push it forward or before? Purim. Purim what? If you look at the next page, you could see Megillah Daf Hey Amud Bet. The Gemara says that Purim, when it comes out on Shabbos, you read the Megillah on Friday. So in our calendar, just to make it very tangible, it can happen with Purim of Yud Dalet. It can happen with Purim of Tetvav, Purim in Yerushalayim. So Purim in Yerushalayim comes out on Shabbos. They have what's called a Purim Meshulash. We won't get into it now, a three-day Purim. But they read the Megillah and they give Matanot Le'Evyonim on Friday. Now, when you read the Megillah early, let's say you read it on the 11th, the 12th, the first Mishnah in Megillah, says the Gemara in Daf Hei Amud Bet, you need a minyan. You can't read the Megillah at home. But what happens when all of the residents of Yerushalayim are going to read it early, namely not on Shabbos, but on Friday? Is it considered Zmano, and thus you don't need a minyan? You can even read it at home. You can have a women's Megillah reading, for example, read by women for women. Or no, that particular year, it's early, so it's different. What do you say? So the Gemara says that Rav, who was the one that said that when you read the Megillah early, you need a minyan, he used the term Erev Shabbat Zmanam. On Erev Shabbos, it's their time. Machlokes Rishonim and later Achronim, I brought it to you here, the Mishnah Berurah says that when you take Purim in Yerushalayim and you read the Megillah on Friday, you must have a minyan. Why? Because you are reading it a day early, reading his words. After bezeh hakol korin be'erev Shabbat, even though everyone makes it early, just like everyone's going to celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut tomorrow, those that celebrate mikol makom ho'il v'dachui hu mizmano, because it's not in time. Lo tziyu chachamim isha shelo bizmano, you need a minyan. Rashi, on the other hand, again, Rashi and the Mishnah Berurah didn't live at the same time. The Mishnah Berurah is basing himself on various Rishonim. Rashi says, and I quote on the left side of the page, Ho'il v'tiknu lahem chachmei Yisrael, because the rabbi said and enacted, Shachar knes tagdola lagdi mishum derabba, that you should make the Megillah on Friday so you don't carry on Shabbos. Harei hulanu kiyom vizman hakavua mitchila lechol dvarav. Friday becomes the time to read the Megillah. Not an early time, but the time. Ve'alfa pishahu lo shelo bizmanan. And even though it's early, have kizmanan. Anyone want to translate those last words? It's like it's on time. Since everyone is going to be celebrating Yom HaAtzma'ut tomorrow, says Rashi, that's it's time. It's not early. It's not I'm going on a trip. So I have a trip I have to go on, and I have to go tomorrow to a trip, so I'm going to celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut on Tuesday, myself. The whole Jewish people who celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut tomorrow in the state of Israel are going to celebrate it tomorrow. Says Rashi, that's its time. The Turei Even, just to finish it, the Turei Even has a beautiful understanding of this. He's in the middle there, you could see him. The Turei Even says, this is Rav Ethlinger out of Germany, he says, why do you need a minyan when you read the Megillah early? Because there's no Pirsumei Nisa. People read the Megillah, they go home. But if on the day you read the Megillah, you would be also giving matanot lev yonim and mishloach manot and getting tipsy and getting drunk and wearing costumes, then there would be Pirsumei Nisa, you wouldn't need a minyan. Now I ask you seriously, gentlemen, when Purim comes out on Friday in Yerushalayim, do you recall ever, Rabbi saying, this year, since Purim came out on Yerushalayim on Shabbos and we're pushing it to Friday, you can't have a women's Megillah reading because you need a minyan. Now I can tell you, I know a few rabbis that said that. I do not recall ever that they canceled Megillah readings for women by women on Friday that was early in Yerushalayim. Why? Because they passed in like Rashi, like the Turei Even, that there is Pirsumei Nisa. Everybody's reading the Megillah early, and everyone's giving Matanot Lev Yonim on Friday, so it's like its day. So plugging it into Yom HaAtzmaut, everyone tomorrow is going to wear blue and white, everyone tomorrow is going to burn meat in the afternoon, everyone tomorrow is probably, if you so, Paskin is going to shave. What's the difference between that and an early Purim in Yerushalayim? True, the Mishnah Berurah understood differently. Now you can understand why this gentleman also understands differently and wants to say it on Heyyar. But you have, in this particular instance, I believe Am Yisrael Paskind, that if you may, everyone makes it early, then that's the date that you make it. Point number four. So we started out by saying the Declaration of Independence was said when it said, says, in order to prevent Chilul Shabbos, which I think is beautiful. We said that there's no inherent importance to a rabbinic date. And we saw that when Purim is pushed forward, the Megillah reading at least, many, many say, Rashi, Turei Even, and others, that if everybody is doing it, you don't need a minyan because it's not considered early. But what are the two precedents we have that we actually do push or push forward or push back something? Now that we take the date and we say, whoop, pushing it to Sunday. Which one is it?
Tisha B'Av.
Tisha B'Av. It's going to happen this year. Now you're going to understand what the Machlokas is based on. So we see Purim, holiday, Megillah reading pushed to Friday, and you saw that Rashi says, that's Zmano. And as I said, I don't recall in the Purim Mishulish years ever, except for a few, ever, pamphlets for Purim where they say this year there can't be Megillah reading for women by women because you need a minyan, it's early. Don't recall it. Now, Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos last year, so it's not ancient history. When Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch has a big problem. We have the 9 days, but the Shulchan Aruch only has Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. So when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, there's two choices. What are the two choices? Those that follow the Shulchan Aruch, and they only have the restrictions of the 9 days, on the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, on the week that Tisha B'Av falls, when do they stop eating meat and drinking wine? Or for sake of argument, they don't wear freshly laundered clothing. When? Two choices. Take a wild guess. You know what? Let's not guess. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. V'imchal Tisha B'Av b'yom rishon, o b'shabbat v'nitchal arshar shabbat, says the Shulchan Aruch, mutar b'shtei ha-shabbatot. The week of Tisha B'Av is garnished because when do you have Tisha B'Av? Sunday. So the whole week before, even though Tisha B'Av is that week, it's at Shabbos. It's nothing. Ben shekodim matanit, ben shacharav. Then he says, v'yesh mishomer. And some say, no, since the date on the calendar is Shabbos, even though we'll be fasting on Sunday, they can't eat meat and drink wine for the whole week before. What's their machlokas? Simply, based on our shir today. Just simple.
Whether there's a special kedusha to that day itself, or
not kedusha in this case, but is there special avelus to that
day?
And even though you're not going to fast that day because of the laws of Shabbos, it's still there's an inherent something to that day.
Or
so the whole week before is no.
Or
we've taken it all from Shabbos, pushed it to Sunday, so Shabbos is a regular Shabbos. Now I'm asking you guys, this year was Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. On Shabbos, did you do anything differently? Anything?
Probably not.
No. Now you should know, if you look in the source sheet, that the Rosh, the Ramban, the Me'iri, Rabbeinu Yerucham, says that Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av on the calendar, Eino Monea Atzmo Afilu Midvarim Shebetzina. Even in your own home, you can do whatever you want. You can learn Torah that you can't learn on Tisha B'Av. You can have big lavish meals you can't have on Tisha B'Av. You can eat meat, drink wine, get drunk, do anything you want that Shabbos, says the Shuta Rashba. Nira Lisha Eino Hegbo Shuma Vilut. And listen to these words. They totally took it out of the ninth of Av. And they moved it to the tenth. And there was even a day in the Gemara, it should always be in the tenth, because the majority of the temple was more burnt on the tenth. But in this case, they totally moved it.
But the week is the same.
For the 9 days is 9 days. I'm saying that's us Ashkenazim, but for the Sfaradim, nothing. Sfaradim that paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. Should be precise. The Ramah, on the other hand, the name of the Yoritz Aruah, has a different point of view. And he says, Yesh, only Yesh, Osrim, Tashmish Amita V'chein Noagim, that Shabbos, that's Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't have Tashmish with your wife, and others add on other things. However, even they concede that if it happens to be the night of the mikveh, then everything's as normal. Now, on the other hand, not only is the Ramah saying there's something still residue on Shabbos, but since we pushed off the fast to Sunday, the fast on Sunday is weaker or the same. So for most of us, it seems like the same, but if you happen to have a bris, then you could, at Chatzos, get up from the low stool, and take a shower and shave and eat, because Tisha B'Av was pushed off, meaning that the real Tisha B'Av is not the 10th, but rather the 9th, since we pushed it off. Maybe there is an inherent value to the actual date. Nafka mina for this. Usually we don't have brises. Let's say a little boy, he's 12 years old. His birthday is on Asiri Be'av, on the 10th of Av. He becomes 13. On Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av, he was 12. His father, based on many Rabbanim Paskin, you don't have to mechanic a kid to fast for the morning fast days, the mournful fast days, not Yom Kippur, but the morning fast days. Why? Because one day there'll be Yontif, so you don't have to mechanic him for something that's going to move away. So he doesn't fast on Shabbos, obviously. We all don't fast. Motzei Shabbos, he's bar mitzvah. Does he have to fast? If you say the real day is Shabbos and we pushed it off to Sunday, on the real day he wasn't chayav, he wasn't obligated. But if you say the real day is Sunday, well, today is 13, he has to fast. So the Avdei Nezer says, that's our machlokas. The Tzitz Eliezer, Shuti Torah Rotshuva, Divrei Malkiel, says, do respect to your machlokas. Do respect. Avdei Nezer, you think it's taluy in this machlokas with within the 9 days if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos. A katan that becomes bar mitzvah on the 10th of Av, which is Sunday, will fast like everyone else. Can anyone tell me why?
Because that's the day that everyone... Knows.
That's the day we're celebrating Tisha B'Av this year!
Right.
I say celebrating, I should say commemorating. So once again, gentlemen, I want to go and reiterate. First of all, the State of Israel was founded in order not to desecrate Shabbos. Point number two, there's no inherent value to the date when it comes to rabbinic holidays. Number three, we have precedent of pushing part of Purim to Friday, and we have precedent of pushing Tisha B'Av off to Sunday. And according to a vast majority of poskim, when you do that, nothing's left on Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. And if you've taken the Megillah to Friday, that's its date. In the same way you read every year, you can read on Friday in Yerushalayim, and you don't need a special minyan because it's early. Having said all that, you saw the other point of view that says there's a little residue left on Shabbos if Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. No Tashmish, perhaps. You've seen the other point of view that says, well, if you make the Megillah reading on Friday, even though everyone's doing it, you need a minyan. Now you can understand why is there a debate as to when to say challah. Because when you take a rabbinic holiday, which has no inherent importance, and you make it earlier or later, do you totally move it, or don't you? But I want to ask you, after hearing these points of view, I want to ask you people around this table, what do you think Am Yisrael Paskint? There's a machlokas, we saw it, you have the sources, you can read it all over Yom HaAtzmaut. Beautiful way to celebrate Independence Day. Thursday or Friday, you can read them both, I allow you both days. You can do a two-day yantif for Yom HaAtzmaut. Gentlemen, what did Am Yisrael Paskin?
But they can move the day to Thursday.
Let's take Yom HaAtzmaut out a second. What did Am Yisrael Paskin? Tisha B'Av that calls out on Shabbos. Does anyone that Shabbos change anything?
No.
No. As a matter of fact, last year there was a Kiddush I participated in on that Shabbos. I don't recall being asked the question, well, it's Tisha B'Av, should we have a Kiddush? Don't recall. Does anyone recall that Shabbos being different? I don't recall. I don't recall any year that when Purim came out in Yerushalayim on Shabbos and they pushed the Megillah reading to Friday, and there, yes, there was one or two that said, yes, you need a minyan. I don't recall a mass of all the Rabbanim coming out and saying, no women's Megillah reading this year, no late Megillah reading for women, no such thing, you need a minyan. Everyone comes to shul at night and in the morning, and everyone hires non-Jewish babysitters to watch their kids so they shouldn't make noise, because this year we're reading the Megillah early. What did they say? They said this year the Megillah is read on Friday, and that's mano, that's its time. I think Am Yisrael on Yom HaAtzmaut Paskin exactly the same way. If it's pushed back to Thursday or pushed forward a day like it sometimes happens, that's the day we celebrate with all its decorations and trappings. Both the religious community and the not yet religious community, everybody celebrates that day. I think you all understand what Am Yisrael Paskin. And therefore I feel that if you feel very strongly that you have to make, you have to say halal on Hey ER, then I don't think you should make it public. It should be a private, it could be a private minion, 10 people, people that agree with you, that's fine. But to promulgate it, when 99.9% you're going against what Am Yisrael Paskin, on Tisha B'Av, on an early Purim, and onwards. Yes, Bruce?
No, that was the question. When the 10 guys all feel that they'd like to say something of the date itself, but they got together to make their own minion for that purpose quietly.
Again, quietly, I would say fine. And again, I have no issue if they want to say halal on Hey Ir, Bedafka, and tomorrow they won't. But you understand the damage when all Am Yisrael is doing it one way, and you promulgate, advertise, doing it another way. I already mentioned using rabbis' names, and that's another issue. But I think there's a lot of damage done if we separate from what everyone else is doing. Now, lehalocha. Is there any sources of people that actually said you should say halal on Hey ER, whether it comes out on Shabbos or Friday? Turn the page. Let's be totally intellectually honest around this table. Rav Goren indeed wrote in Torah HaShabbat VaHamoed on a holiday entitled Yom HaAtzmaut VeYom Yerushalayim Shechalim Lihiyot B'Shabbat. He writes that you should say halal always on the 5th of ER if it comes out on Shabbos or on Friday. Just like in early Purim, when do we say Al HaNisim in Yerushalayim? Not on Friday when you read the Megillah, but on Shabbos. And he was convinced of this point of view. You have his point of view on the right side of the page. I wrote his assumptions as to why this is true. And ultimately, you can understand where it's coming from, because we already saw that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, some say there's a residue left. And when Purim is pushed forward, we saw some say, hey, you need a minyan, it's early. So Rav Goren was convinced of that. Once again, I don't think Am Yisrael Paskin like Rav Goren, but even Rav Goren himself had to concede. And I repeat the following. Rav Yaakov Ariel, on the left side of the page, in a large article in the Tchumen periodical, which is a very high-class halachic periodical that comes out about once a year, Yom HaAtzmaut Shechal B'Shabbat or Be'erev Shabbat, Rav Yaakov Ariel, the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, comes to the conclusion that you celebrate if it's early or it's late on that day. And he makes a few points here, and I just want to mention them very, very quickly. He brings everything we spoke about with regard to rabbinic holidays not having an inherent importance. He says that you can make it earlier or later. And then he says something that I think is very, very important. Absolutely, נשאר לחוג את החלקה הדתי בשבת, ואילו הציבור הרחב שלא הוא שדרש הקדמה זו, ואולי אין היא נוחה לו, ורק הוא לץ להקדים את החגיגות בגלל החצה של הרבנות, דווקא הוא צריך לחוג את היום שלו בזמנו. He says it's absurdity. How do you say absurdity in English?
Absurd.
Oh, really? That's pretty good. He says, I thought it was a Hebrew word. He said, who's the ones that pushed to push Yom HaAtzmaut early? The Rabbanut. Why did they push it? So there shouldn't be Chilul Shabbos. So he says, what's going to be the result? The ones that don't care about Chilul Shabbos, they'll make a barbecue every Shabbos. They have to celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut early on Thursday. But the religious Jews, who were the ones that pushed it, will celebrate on Shabbos. He says, that is the most absurd thing I can think of in my life. Imagine. We're the ones saying, push it forward so you don't mechalel Shabbos. And the ones that say so, don't do it themselves. He says it's absolutely absurd. And then he goes on and says, another point that I think is very critical. He says, ha-hafrada ben etzibur dati va-tzibur klali b'chagigat hayom, yesh ba-petach la-hafrada ben adat lamdina. If you start and say the religious Jews should celebrate on Friday, and the non-religious Jews should celebrate on Thursday because we can't trust them, you are opening up a window to what?
To
separation between church and state. Think about it. The religious Jews? Friday, we don't have any issues of Chilul Shabbos. But the non-religious Jews, a different day. That's separating between church and state. That begins the separation of church and state. Right then and there. And says Rav Ariel, absolutely not. It is an absolute Kiddush Hashem, he says, that the state of Israel is the only state on Wikipedia. You can go onto Wikipedia and put on Independence Day of every single country, July 4th in America, Canada Day is on July 1st. There's only one country that it says undetermined. Which country?
Israel.
Why? Because sometimes it's the 5th of Iyar, sometimes it's the 4th of Iyar, sometimes it's the 2nd of Iyar, 3rd of Iyar, sometimes it's the 6th of Iyar. He says that's the biggest Kiddush Hashem. That there's one state in the world that will celebrate its independence in such a way that it doesn't mechalel Shabbos. Now, he says, he personally is of the opinion that just like when Tisha B'Av is pushed off, there's a little residue, tomorrow is the day we celebrate, and Friday you shouldn't say Tachanun. Now, we omit Tachanun for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. We all know that. Right? A chassan comes into shul, no tachanun. The guy has a bris, no tachanun. Lag ba'omer, no tachanun. Tu b'shvat, which is probably meaningless to everyone around this table, no tachanun. So he can admit tachanun on Friday. He's willing to concede on that point. But, and if it comes out on Shabbos, maybe no avarachamim, but then he says, dafka and iyar is when the crusades happen, so maybe you should. Fine. What did Am Yisrael Paskin like, Rav Goren or Rav Ariel?
Rav
Ariel. You want to hear the end of the story? In the Tzohar magazine of number Lamed Aleph, Rav Dror Fixler, in an article entitled Yom HaAtzmaut Vehei Iyar Kishnei Chagim Ezrachi V'Dati, contemplating maybe we should have the civil holiday on Thursday and the religious holiday on Friday, he says the following maise. He was in Rav Goren Shul. There's a shul in Kol Aviv called Kol Mimiyut Avraham, and he was there on Yom HaAtzmaut that was either early or late. I read the story to you. Bishnat Tav Shin Nan Nun Dalet. 1994. Check the calendars. Find out when Yom HaAtzmaut fell out. No, anyone have it here? All right, take my word for it. Chal Hei Iyar b'Shabbat. Hei Iyar was on Shabbos. So when was Yom HaAtzmaut celebrated? Gimel Iyar on Thursday. 2 days early. Ach bebeit Knesset kumen miyut Avraham b'Tel Aviv. In the very shul that Rav Goren founded and he was the Rav of. His father was the Rav and then he was the Rav of. Shabo Ayar Rav Goren kiyan kirav. They had the whole festive davening on Thursday. So Rav Dror Fixel knows Rav Goren's opinion on this. We have it here. So Rav Goren was not necessarily a pleasant individual. He was very takif. He had to be careful. So he put on his helmet. He put on his bulletproof breath. And he went up to Rav Goren and very quietly, about to have a way to go, the getaway car is outside, does the following. Sha'alti oto! How come in your own shul you don't follow your own psak? Listen to his answer. And he answered me. Because the people did not accept what I said. Who are the people? He doesn't mean his shul. How do I know he doesn't mean his shul? If you turn the page, I'll tell you exactly why he doesn't mean his shul. Because his shul, on the next page, I photocopied it precisely, has what Rav Goren Paskin for his shul when we change the date of Yom HaAtzmaut. He says, I only say Hallel on the actual date. Right? So this is what they did in Tavshin Samech Dalet, exactly 10 years later, 2004, check the calendars. Thursday, Sunday was Dalet Iyar. Then do you know what changed? It used to be that if Yom HaZikaron came out Motzei Shabbos, that was Yom HaZikaron, Dalet Iyar. But because of the fact that we went to daylight saving time early, and because nowadays the prime minister or the president of Israel can't just come to the kotel for the tekes and walk in with two bodyguards, they have to sweep the place, they have to have all this security around them, and there's a lot of chilul Shabbos. So the Rabbanut HaRashit decided that year to push off Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom HaZikaron. So the Yom HaZikaron starts on Sunday night. Sunday night is Heiyar. And then Yom HaAtzmaut will be Monday night Vaviyar. That was the year. Now listen to the calendar of the shul. Okay? You come into the shul of Rav Goren, this is what it said. Yom Alef Dalet Iyar Tavshin Samech Dalet. Now this is Sunday night. All the Jewish people are about to start Yom HaZikaron. The Tzfira, the siren is about to go off at 8 o'clock. Okay? There's already sad tunes on the radio. In his shul, listen carefully, he'd consult the Tfilat Chag, Tfilat Arvit, he passed in Yishei Shechiyanu, which as we saw from the Meiri is one point of view with regard to Hanukkah, but he dismisses it. V'amirat Halel Shalem b'sheimu v'malchus. Just like Pesach night, Rav Goren Paskin, you have to say Halel at night. Also controversial, but we won't get into that now. Now listen carefully. Amirat Halel tistayem kodem mitchilato afro malit sheyom hazikaron b'sha'ah shmoneh. Even though Rav Goren was convinced he was right, he said, we're part of Am Yisrael, so we're going to make a minyan, but we're going to make sure our festive Halel is going to end before 8 o'clock. What happens at 8 o'clock?
The siren,
Yom HaZikaron starts. We will not separate from the rest of the Jewish people. Now comes Yom HaZikaron morning. Imagine, like a morning like this. Everyone's sad. Everyone's talking about the Chayalim and the wars. Monday morning, Yom Bet, Hey Iyar, 7 o'clock. Minyan Echad Tfilat Shacharit. It can only be one minyan. Yeyamer Halel, Bi Bracha. We'll say Halel with a Bracha. Now imagine, and everyone's sad in this shul. They're saying Halel with a Bracha. Now listen carefully. Lelo Shira. We're not going to sing in Halel. If the Chazan, God forbid, starts singing, we shoot him. Why? Mitoch kavod lanoflim b'marchot Yisrael. Everyone around us is showing kavod to the people that were killed in wars, people that were killed in terrorist attacks. We're not going to sing Halel happy clappy. We're convinced halachically this is the day, but we're part of the Jewish people, we're part of the state of Israel. Abyssal seichel, abyssal, excuse me for saying so, sensitivity. No Halel with singing. Now, Monday night, all Am Yisrael is going to start Yom HaAtzmaut. Initial, they already did it the night before. What do they do Monday night? Listen carefully. 20 o'clock. What's 20 o'clock? Let's just translate for the recording, people that don't go. 8 o'clock. Tfilat Arvit Chagigit. We'll have a festive Ma'ariv. La'achara tfilah yermu pirkei tehillim akulim ba'alel. After davening, we'll say a few pirkei tehillim. That are Halel pirkei tehillim without a bracha. Monday morning, this is Tuesday morning, the day off, 7 o'clock, Minyan Echad Tfilat Shacharit, once again, Lo Yeyamer Tachanun, we won't say Tachanun, Ve'yermu Perek Tili Maklulim Ba'alel, and we'll say without a bracha. This is what they did in his shul. Do you see the sensitivity to what everyone else is doing versus that? On this leaflet, it's not here. Here it just says, Tfilat Alech, Hagigit, Be'yomo, etc. No sensitivity to anything else. And that, I think, is a mistake. Now, even though this is what they do in that shul, what did Rav Goren say about his own psach? I quote to you again, "V'hu anali sheha'am lo kibel et hadvar." And this is where I believe we stand. If I go out tomorrow and I can make a case that we should say Halel on Friday, I believe that this is exactly the result of what I'm about to say. If I say no, Heiyar is a holy day, this is the result. A. How can you say Heiyar is a holy day when you play around with Purim and Tisha B'Av? B. How can you say Friday is the real day when everyone is celebrating on Thursday? And C. How can you open up the window to the separation of church and state by moving that Halel to the day that no one's celebrating. And D, and this is the most absurd of it all, the state of Israel is founded on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock before Shabbos. The Rabbanut HaRashit says, please move Yom HaAtzma'ut 2 days earlier so that we don't have Chilul Shabbos. And Ben-Gurion, maybe for political reasons, and then other prime ministers, Levi Eshkol, Moshe Sharet, Golda Meir, not big lovers of Yiddishkeit, any of them. They all agreed. And who would be the only ones that wouldn't celebrate that day? The ones that asked for it. Therefore, gentlemen, I am of the opinion that just like we can move a rabbinic date of any sort, we move Tisha B'Av to Sunday, we move part of Purim to Friday, you can move Yom HaAtzma'ut to Thursday. It's for good, legitimate concerns. You saw the halachic discussion. I don't believe there's any inherent Kedusha Tehei'iyar. And just like you can commemorate the fast of Asara B'Tevet on a different date, as we saw, you can commemorate the beauty of the miracle of the new state of Israel a day early, a day late, and nothing happens. And even if you disagree with me and say, no, hey, here is the real date, look at Rav Gorin's protocol here and see how sensitive he was to the fact that he's doing something different than everyone else. And look at how Rav Gorin himself said people didn't accept what I said on this issue. Atkan Rabotai, I hope we learned something. I think the most important thing I didn't say, and that is, gentlemen, it's important to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the state of Israel. Each in their own way. This big machlokes is halal with a bracha, without a bracha, whatnot. We, every Jew, I think, has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the state of Israel, and I hope you all are successful in doing it.